Well, we're talking this week about our thought life. What does God want us to be thinking about? We talked about meditating on God's Word last time. Today, we will consider a few more scriptures that tell us what to think about. What does God want us to think about? But first, there's a short verse that I read and thought about concerning what God said to Jerusalem through the prophet Jeremiah. It's in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 14. It says, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? And as I was thinking about this, I looked up in the concordance a lot of verses on thoughts, and like this one has the word thoughts in the verse. The word thought in the verse. I looked up different things preparing for this study, and this is one here. But I really was pondering this, and I thought it would be worth sharing my thoughts here. But O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? So here God's talking to the people of Jerusalem, and he's using the prophet. And I read through this chapter here just a little bit ago and kind of got the context of it even and thought about it some. But one of the things is he's calling these people to repentance. And repentance, what repentance really means is to change the way we're thinking, to change it, to think differently than what we're thinking now. What I've been thinking now is about this sin, Jerusalem, they're in sin and they're doing evil things and all this, and God's telling them to think differently, repent. And he says, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? And he's saying it in a sense that it seems like they have a choice to make, or they have a decision to make, or that they're the ones that can change. And God wants them to change. They're not changing, but he gives them this verse. And how long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? It's like, what are you waiting for? Why do you still have these vain thoughts, these empty thoughts, these wicked thoughts? He was told them earlier in verse 4 about what they should do, that they should circumcise their hearts and things. And he talks about different things in this chapter, but how long, what are you waiting for? How long is it going to be until you repent? And he calls them to repentance. Now, whether they ever did or not, I don't know. But it sounds like it was their choice that they could turn, that they could repent, that they could change their thinking. Now, we've been talking about our thoughts, and this is, the word repent means to change the way we think. But I just, I saw something here where it really sounds like they have a choice, which that's what I believe. Some people in Christendom, they say that God is the one that is in control, and he doesn't really want everybody to repent or whatever, that he has some people he's going to save and some people he's going to damn, and it's because, that's just his decree that he's going to do this. Well, that's completely contrary to what the Bible teaches throughout the scriptures. This is just one out of many, many verses that could be brought out where God calls them to repentance, and sometimes maybe people did repent and God was pleased with that, but then sometimes people didn't repent and God was not pleased with that. He said they could, they should, but they didn't. And this is just one example, but he makes it sound like they have a choice, that they can repent, that they can change their thinking. Well, God has given us a free will. We can choose to repent and change our thinking, and that's what God desires. Or we can choose to be stubborn, stiff-necked, and not change our thinking and go the way the rest of the world goes and be lost and not be saved. Here he says, Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness that thou mayest be saved. And then how long will your vain thoughts lodge within you? You know, they're just lodged there. How long are you going to have this kind of mindset? And God wants us to repent. That's the emphasis here, and that's what I'd like to really bring out. God really wants us to repent. If your thought life is not wholesome and pleasing and God-honoring, God wants you to repent, and He has given you the ability to do that. But, you know, you can either say yes or no. God definitely has His part in it. He draws people. He convicts people. He has given us His word. He sends people across our path to talk to us. He brings different circumstances our way to wake us up. But the final decision is ours. We will either say yes to God or we'll say no to God. We will either change our thinking and repent, or we will continue going down this road of maybe gutter thinking, you know, thinking in your thoughts are always in the gutter. And maybe it's not just sexually wicked type thoughts, but maybe they're things about people that are critical or gossipy, or, you know, you're not wanting good. Maybe the thoughts are, you know, in that vein and not just, you know, in a sexually bad way or something. I don't know. There's all kinds of thoughts that people think, and if they're not wholesome and in God-fearing, God-loving thoughts, then, you know, we need to repent. And that is God's will for each one listening here today, that we would have thoughts that would be good thoughts, and that we wouldn't be ashamed if we, as I mentioned on the first day, we wouldn't be ashamed if our thoughts were written on our, you know, on a screen, that people could see it on a screen and see what we were thinking. It wouldn't be, we wouldn't have to be afraid. And we can decide to believe God. We can decide to believe God and be changed. Well, that's God's will, and He's given each one of us the power. You might think, well, I just can't control my thoughts. Well, God has given you the power to be able to control your thoughts. Now, maybe you're in a very bad habit. Maybe it's out of control, but there is a way that you can gain control of your mind, and we're going to look at that a little bit here today. We're not to be like the rest of the world. We're to be different as Christians, renewing our mind. A bad and a wicked thought starts, a bad and wicked thought life, a thought life, starts off small with wrong thinking, but grows and grows and grows. And maybe that wrong thinking even started in prior to our teenage years or whatever. Maybe there was things that happened that started us down this road of bad thoughts. And those things grow and grow and grow to where it's out of control. Well, God wants us to be in control of our thoughts, and He wants us to be able to have good thoughts. In Ephesians 4:17, and it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Most people in this world, most of the Gentiles, even the Jews, most people in this world have their mind, they walk in the vanity of their mind. And that can be on a scale of, you know, it doesn't have to be just completely a gutter thoughts, you know, gutter way, but it could also be, you know, in other not good ways, like I mentioned there about maybe critical ways or or judgmental ways or whatever. But it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify unto the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." That could be greedy thoughts. It could be the love of money, covetous thoughts, just wanting to get more and to get more and to get more and those kind of things. He tells us here in Ephesians 4:17 through 19 here, not to walk like the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. And he goes through this, that their understanding is darkened, they're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, because they don't have, they're not walking in faith, but they're walking in the world. So, and then in Romans chapter 12, it says, I'll just quote it here, but it says, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Here the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, but we can be renewed in our mind, and it's through the Word of God. It's through putting God's Word in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, reading God's Word, meditating on God's Word, like we talked about, I think, two times ago. But it's meditating on the things that are of God, and not going down that road when we have thoughts. We change our thoughts. And tomorrow, in the next day's message, we're going to get practical on how we're to do that. But we're to renew our mind. And we've talked about some practical things already about the Bible, meditating on God's Word, meditating on God Himself. Those are very practical things, meditation and thinking that way. But how can we do that when our mind isn't renewed and we're, you know, we've maybe had a bad habit of years with bad thoughts? Well, it's not going to be changed probably overnight, but it can really be changed. And if you really want it to be changed, you can do it by God's help, by God's grace. That you've been given everything that you can, that it takes to change this way of thinking. So renew our minds, and it's renewed through the Word of God, washing of the water by the Word. It says in another place that the God's Word is like water, and if we wash our minds with the water of the Word, it cleanses us, and it can cleanse our minds in that way. So how can we stop thinking on impure thoughts or on things that defile? We stop thinking about those things by thinking about other things. And that's very practical. And it might sound too simple, but that's really what it takes. And that's what I want to share more tomorrow. But it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Think on these things. What things? Well, the things we just looked at. The things that are true, the things that are honest, the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, the things that are of good report, virtuous things, and praiseworthy things. Think on these things. And it's very practical. All you have to do is stop thinking about the things you're thinking about and think about things that God tells you to think about. It might sound too simple, but that's really the answer, really the key there. God has given us that in His Word, and He's given us the ability to make a choice. We can choose to think differently, and I just really challenge us all to think differently. Well, our thoughts should be on the Lord. O God, Thou art, this is Psalm 63, verse 6, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee, my flesh longeth for Thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Is that your experience? Are you seeking the Lord early? Early will I seek Thee, it says. And my soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. It's not just, you know, you haven't had a drink for an hour, but this is where, you know, you haven't had a drink for a few days, and you're so thirsty. That's the way that we should seek after the Lord, and we should delight in Him like we talked about earlier in another session. Verse 2, it says, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary, because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. Now this is the verse I wanted to get to. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wing will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. So here he says, when I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches. I hear of people that they're not able to sleep very well. I usually don't have too much problem going to sleep, and even sleeping a full night, I usually don't have too much problem. But sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night or wake up early in the morning before I get up, maybe before my alarm goes off, and I'll wake up. And I love to think about the things of God and just to meditate on the Lord. I believe God's really spoken to me a lot during that time, and I like those times where I can just meditate. When I'm still in my bed, it says, I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches. So thinking about things, thinking about the Lord and our thoughts being on the Lord and His goodness and His love and His mercy. Well, God bless you. Thanks for listening today, and I hope that's an encouragement to you. And tomorrow will be day 7, and we'll end the series here on our thought life. But God bless you. Thanks for listening.